Abend? Jetzt gibt es Type Radio.
My name is Frank Lopez. You are listening to Type Radio. Now we're talking.
TypeRadio.org, broadcasting from Helsinki, Etaipi 2005.
Could you tell for the Dutch Type Library how you obtained the Van Krimpen collection?
In part, the first typeface was Haarlemmer, and Haarlemmer was a little bit difficult because at first there weren't any drawings left. It was the first idea, and also Huib van Krimpen, the son of Jan van Krimpen, was convinced that there were no drawings anymore. And we had to make an agreement with Huib van Krimpen, but also with Monotype because of the trademark rights on the name, and we wanted to call it Haarlemmer. Otherwise, we had to give it another name, which doesn't make sense, actually. And it was, I think, in 94, 95 that Huib van Krimpen came back from a visit to Monotype, and he brought with him the 9 original sheets of Haarlemmer. And my first question, they were perfect. Nobody had touched these sheets for 50 years, so they were.
And they were in the possession of Monotype?
Huib van Krimpen, yeah, originally Monotype, yeah. But they were the property of Huib van Krimpen, so he took them with him. And I asked him, what are you going to do with the drawings? And he said, I'm going to sell them. And I said, sold. So I took them immediately with me in the train. I was very pleased with the drawings, and we could use them, of course, also for the...
What was
so
the price?
That could be one of your dearest possessions, then.
This is one of my dearest possessions, okay.
What was the price?
Well, it just made me think of it.
What was the price? It was quite a lot of money. I will not go into
that.
Why not? I don't know.
Why not?
I will not go into details, but for the insurance, at the moment, it will be something like the 9 sheets. No, I expect something like €20,000 at the moment. They're not Rembrandts, but the price is going up quite.
How do you value it? I mean, how would you negotiate
As far as I know, there are the only drawings of a Van Krimpen typeface which are not in a museum, which make them very exclusive. All the rest is in most of them are in Meermanno and the university library in Amsterdam.
So if they were auctioned, you'd probably go it would go a lot higher then.
I don't know how much money there is in the market or if the museums have a lot of money, but I will not sell them anyways. It's a hypothetical situation.
I heard that Romane is not among the typefaces you got from the Van Krimpen collection.
No,
are you sad about that? That you don't have the whole thing?
No. Romane is a nice typeface, but for me as a student, Romulus was the most interesting typeface, and we have Romulus. And besides Haarlemmer, Romulus, and the third one is Sheldon. Perhaps we will do some more in the future, but for the moment it's more than enough. We are now finishing Romulus, and I will make an additional reel italic for it. So it has the sloped Roman, slanted Roman. But I will make a new... I'm working actually on the new italic, so which is also nice to do. But no, as I said before, I'm very happy with the situation we're in, and I can do what I like, I can make what I like, and life can't be better than it is. So, and I really mean that, which also makes it quite easy to speak about competition, because at the end I don't care. If I'm not happy in the situation where I'm in, I will not be happy in any other situation. So,
what do you do when you have students like you? Like, I don't want to listen to you. I don't believe in what you're saying. I'm going to do what I think is right. Is that okay?
Of course that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. At the end you have... You need knowledge. You need skills, practical skills. But to survive you need much more. So when a student want to go... The only point is that when it's ignorance, it's a problem, of course. So it must have a good basis, of course. Mm. But when that's the case, it's okay.
And so you've been sometimes proven wrong, for example, or
so quite often. So still, that's the price you pay when you go your own way. But it's normal, and you have to be open for that. And when you make a mistake, and you make mistakes, and it's normal. And also as a lecturer, you make mistakes, but I try to be as open as possible towards my students for their ideas, and I think my students can underline this also.
With the DTL, it has a specific Dutch, the name, but also like the revivals of the Van Krim, all the Dutch typefaces. Procyon sort of stands out.
Not for me.
No, why not for you? Could you explain that?
Yeah, I can.
Without getting too technical.
Yeah, I can, because Procyon is not... let's say something else at first. We always had from the beginning on... I always had, because it was my program... program with 50% new typefaces and 50% revivals and re-releases.
So the setup was not really meant to be just only revivals.
We started with Argo and Documenta, which were new typefaces, and then the first revivals were added. It's a label that we got at some moment, and I don't know why actually, because still 50% is new, and I think that Procyon is not more modern, and I don't mean modern like Bodoni, but really modern, than Argo. Mm. So for me, Procyon was an addition which I really wanted to have, and I made a program for DTL where we have 50%, as I said, new typeface, 50% re-releases. A re-release is a typeface that was produced, but actually more or less released and then taken off the market, like Haarlemmer was, and especially Albertina was, which is only has been used actually once for the book of Stanley Morrison for his exhibition in Brussels and in The Hague in 1966. What I wanted to have was, first of all, why I wanted to have revivals is that it's so much has been made in the past that is so extremely good that it would be a pity if it would not be available nowadays. And it's the same with music. If you say, and sometimes people say Van Kempen, for instance, did not like revivals. I think that had another reason. First of all, when they were working on the revival at Monotype, they couldn't work at a new typeface, which was not good for him. And second, when they were working on Van Dyck, he worked for Monotype, and when they finished, he said, "I don't like the typeface." And so he was a little bit opportunistic, I think, in this case. But when you say, "I don't want to make revivals," when you look at the music, that would mean that we stop listening to the music of Bach, for instance. Let's get rid of all the old instruments, and it's from the past. Let's get rid of all the old music, which would be a pity, because again, it's the same what I said at the beginning. It's not about, so with music, it's not about classical music or modern music. It's about good music. With type, it's the same. And as soon as you get an overlap, as soon as you get a new typeface, which is not an addition or very useful, you should not do it. But for instance, with Fleischmann was more or less forgotten in the digital typography. And now Fleischmann has been the basis for many typefaces by other designers. So for me, it was something I really wanted to have, and was not something we produced because of economical reasons, because Fleischmann is not so successful financially as Argo is, for instance. but I don't care. Because I want to have a balance, and what we have revivals from basically every age. So we have a 16th century revival with Van der Keren, a 17th century revival with Elsevier, and now a new one, DTL Fell, which is also 17th century, an 18th century typeface with Fleischmann. 19th century, actually not, although you could say Noble is based on 19th century models originally. And then with the 20th century, we have Haarlemmer and Romulus and Albertina and all the other stuff, which is really brand new, which is 20th century and 21st century. For me, Procyon, because that was your original question, really fits in that model, because we have humanistic sans-serifs, we have like Caspari and Haarlemmer sans, Documenta sans, we have more or less modern sans-serifs like Argo, and this was something that really fits in the program. So some people said, oh, I didn't expect this from DTL, this is so modern. Just.
But do you feel like it's like rooting in the same tradition as the revival like fonts that you
no,
have?
No, but it was never my purpose. I always said there must be a Dutch connection some way. And in case of Procyon, the connection was a little bit artificial. But Erhard, I asked Erhard Kaiser in 1991 at the Didot seminar at UAW. If you could make a Fleischmann revival for me. Because I wanted to have a German to make the typeface for the Dutch type library, because originally Fleischmann was also a German working in the Netherlands. And to tell you a secret, and I should not do this because this will be broadcasted, I also wanted to have and want to have a typeface from several countries which are interesting for us. So Fleischmann has been made especially for the German market, Van der Keren for the Belgian market. Fleischmann is used quite a lot in Germany. Van der Keren is the corporate identity typeface for the Plantin Museum in Antwerp and the city of Antwerp, for instance. And we have now Fell, which is targeted for the English market. So that was also, is also the idea. Don't broadcast this.
No, he's smiling.
It's okay. It's